T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And we're presented by Chafin Luhana, injury law firm doing good by doing right. Start of the NFL year still a couple of weeks away, the new year, which is when free agency gets going. Diana Russini, I like her, over at ESPN, just tweeted this. Texted an NFL head coach about the upcoming cuts in what he expects, and this is what the coach said to her, quote, "It's going to be a massacre next week all around the league." Our great NFL insider, John Clayton Braddock's own, the Hall of Famer, joins us right now. John, is that right? It's going to be a massacre next week with cuts?
Yep, 100%. I mean, she's right on it. And we're seeing it now each day because the numbers are going to keep going up. You know, Henry Anderson just got cut by the New York Jets. Cal Van Noy, even though he signed a four-year $51 million deal with Miami, he got cut. No, it's going to be completely ugly because what has to happen now is that a lot of these guys, and one of the trends is free agents who signed last year are going to be cut. So there's going to be more dead money than anything else. But you watch, there's going to be a lot of the UFAs. There's already been several cut. There's going to be even more than that. And basically what it comes down to is if this is going to be somewhere close to the 2018 cap, you really can't have more than about 155 to 160 players making $10 million a year or more. And so because of that, it started out at the end of last year, there was 209. Now we're down. It started at 182, at 183. We've already had about 11 or 12 guys that have been cut making more than $10 million. It is going to be a bloodbath.
How do you think the Steelers could be affected? Any particular names that you think will factor in on their end as part of said bloodbath?
I think, Joe Hayden, I think he's going to, because they can't have him at over $13 million. I think Vince Williams could be in trouble. There's hardly anything left on the offensive line to let go because Villanueva is unsigned and Feeler's unsigned. And, Marquise Pouncey's already been cut or he's retired. So it's not going to affect the defensive line at all. But it's going to be pretty ugly. But I don't think there's going to be too many Steelers because the big thing right now is redoing contracts and freeing up cap room.
John Clayton, our guest here. John, we got what Steelers fans might have taken as good news with Art Rooney's statement on Ben and then Ben's agent, and then now everything has gone radio silent. So anything to read into that?
No. I mean, what you read in, do we know what the cap number is for sure yet? And the answer is no. We haven't heard for sure whether there's going to be a 17-game season. It looks like it's going to go that way. So really what's holding things up is just waiting for the cap, for league revenue to be totally endorsed.
When should we get those answers, John? I mean, why are we waiting so long when we're so close to the start of the next year? Is it typical that we wouldn't know those things in March?
We didn't know last year.
Okay.
We didn't know last year until the start of free agency because, again, with the pandemic and everything. And, again, these are complicated negotiations because you have to have audits and everything else and then negotiate, see if you get some money from future years and all that stuff. So it's like, and everybody anticipated it was going to be close. I thought maybe there was an outside chance that it was something that was going to get done this week. But there'll be more revenue if they go to 17 games, mm-hmm. and it looks like it is going to go to 17 games. We already know that they're pretty close in all the deals for the TV networks for the future. those things look good because, you know, ESPN is just going to pay about, what, 400, 500,000 million more than they paid last year for the 1.9 million. So in the end, you know, this is just a matter that these are complicated things that take some time, and until you get the numbers, then you can't really work out exactly what you want. So I wouldn't read anything into it at all. It looks like Ben's going to stay.
John, what do you expect that – I think I've asked you this, I don't know, probably four or five times, but I continue to not hear a definitive answer. Are you getting honed in on what that final cap number is going to be for this year?
Yeah, there's debates. It's either 180.5 or maybe as high as 183. You know, some people thought it was going to go to 185. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. I know that Denver's Brandon McManus, the player rep, thought it was going to go to 188. But I think it's going to probably be between 180.5 and 183.
Mm. So that's 2018 numbers you're saying, John, there? That's where it was?
Well, 2018 was 177.2, so it's a little bit above that, particularly if it's going to be 180.5. And again, you know, that'll be able to squeeze in a few extra contracts, but not a lot more. But again, it's going to be tight. And then the other part of it is the you know, the base salaries have increased so much. You know, because you start at 660, you've got 920, 999, 990s. And so a lot of the base salaries are up, and that's eating up a lot of room. Then, of course, you've got the escalators in the fourth-year contracts for guys that played a lot, and that can be, you know, in some cases $3.4 million. It could be $2.433 million, and at the very least $2.183 million. So those numbers are up, too, and that eats up a lot of cap space.
John, what is your impression of, you know, the 17th game in general, like the way they're going to do it? Do you think that this is something that is going to be eventually, you know, it was a contentious point for a while with the players. Do you expect that to sort of fade into the background after they get a year or two of it under their belts?
Yeah, because, again, it's like they gave the NFL the license to be able to implement it if they wish, and they get more revenue. It looks like they'll probably implement it. But, again, until we get the official announcement, we don't know for sure. But, again, I think the plan was, particularly after losing all the money with so many not having people in the stands, that you know, you get the extra TV money because, again, you got an extra week of TV. So I think that's going to be necessary, and it might be necessary to put the salary cap over the 180 million floor. So you know, I think it's going to happen, and the players just have to accept it, and they did accept it.
John, if you're just doing, you know, very on the spot like analysis of the Steelers, if guys like Joe Haden and Vince Williams get cut, what kind of team do you think they're left with? What kind of defense are they left with? Are they going to be one of the teams that is hurt by this more than others?
I mean, every team's going to get hurt. I mean, for the most part, I mean, Indianapolis may not. Jacksonville, they're terrible. Jets are terrible. You know, some of the terrible teams aren't going to be hurt by it because, again, they may not have to make many cap casualties, but they'll be hurt. But, again, most of the good teams are going to get hurt. You know, for example, you know, Cleveland may not get hit as bad as any other team in the division, but the Bengals certainly don't have enough money tied up in players to really make much of a difference on the cap. But Baltimore's going to have to pay a price, you know, because they're going to have to lose some guys. Steelers may have to lose a little bit more, but the big thing is they still have Ben Roethlisberger, and when you have a quarterback, you know, you still have a chance.
So is it fair to say then, John, that a team that has a young quarterback that wasn't very good, you could see a lot more of those teams maybe jump up the standings this coming year because they're not going to be gouged by this like some of the better teams will be, the more veteran teams?
Yeah, but again, it's like if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to be able to win much. I mean, you look around the league, and that's been
like a Cincinnati, for example. If Burrow's healthy, it feels like they could be in a decent spot relative to a lot of teams that were a lot better than them last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could move up, and you know, you figure Arizona is definitely going to move up, but then they've got a great young quarterback, certainly in Kyler Murray, so they're going to move up. But I mean, I still think it's going to be tough for Jacksonville. Still think it's going to be tough for the Jets. Again, the move up teams have more of a chance in the AFC because again, you've got 10 quarterbacks that are in their rookie contracts, and because they're not eating up 25 to 35 to $40 million. then they have the ability to do well. But I mean, Houston's going to drop down because they don't have anything left and are cutting more players than they can really keep or build upon, and they got a quarterback who doesn't want to be there. But again, that's why it's like Diana Rossini was saying, is like this is going to be a bloodbath, but it's also going to be one of the more unusual seasons, because what's also going to happen, you're going to have more good players available at cheaper prices. I mean, you're going to be able to get guys maybe 50 cents on the dollar, and they might be former Pro Bowlers. They might be in their late 20s. I mean, there are going to be some bargains out there, and you don't necessarily have to do it in free agency, because look at some of the cut guys that are up right now. I mean, like Nick Martin was making $11 million in Houston as a center. He's a pretty good center, and he's going to be available. You might be able to get him for $5 million a year.
And that could be your Pouncey replacement, John.
That could be, yes. I think you have to seriously look at it. And then the other great part of that is, if you lose a Bud Dupree, if you lose an Andrew Villanueva, I mean, you still can get the compensatory picks for the future years. So I think more teams are going to be jumping on, because I created a list, and I've got like about 125 guys that I have as cap casualties. And that's how big it is. Normally, in a normal year, you're going to have, and this is also including trades, you're going to have like about 150 guys involved in it. Well, you're going to have 125, and that might be before you get into late March.
Darn.
John, when you I'm trying to like – is this the hard – you know what? I'll just ask a broad-based question here, sort of based on what you just said. Just from my vantage point, maybe I don't know if I'm speaking for Andrew here, it just feels like an incredibly difficult offseason to forecast.
Well, that's
in terms
why he's got the spreadsheets,
player
Chris.
Movement. I know. It's just is this unprecedented then, John? I obviously the circumstances that have dictated it are, but is the actual amount of player movement that you expect and unpredictability unprecedented in your time covering the league?
Yeah, because I mean, since the cap came in, the cap has never gone down. Mm. I mean, the worst than it did was back in 2012. When it went up from like 120.25 to 120.5. And there was, a lot of movement back then, but now it's even going to be worse, because now you're talking about peeling the cap back $15 to $18 million, and salaries have risen so much, particularly even the base salaries. So, no, this is very unprecedented. And again, you hope it's something that's never going to happen again, but teams are going to have a tough time dealing with it. I mean, you've got, 14 teams right now that are over the cap. And this is before they start offering their restricted free agents any contracts.
John, do you have some of those cut candidates? Do you have that spreadsheet available to you right now?
Can I? Not ask in you? Front of me right
okay.
now.
I'm going to ask you then to maybe go off your great brain power and recall here when I ask this question. You mocked Najee Harris to the Steelers in your last Washington Post mock draft, but I'm thinking, maybe there's going to be just like last year with Fournette. Maybe there's going to be a guy like that or a few guys like that that get cut over the next few weeks that you can bring in here on the cheap and not have to give up the compensatory pick the next year to sign. Do you have any guys like that in your head that might get cut in this bloodbath that might happen
100%.
Next week?
I mean, for example, and again, there's going to be more running backs in the market than probably we've ever seen, but we just saw two things happen down in Houston. Duke Johnson, you remember him from Cleveland, he went over to Houston in a trade and was making over $5 million. He got cut. Now, again, he wouldn't be the starting replacement for anybody because he really has never started.
Yep.
But we just watched David Johnson, who Arizona traded to Houston and was on a $13 million a year contract. He just to stay took, what was, and again, the agents always say that they get, it's a max contract of $6 million. Which basically says it's like $4 million and $2 million in incentives. It's just like the J.J. Watt thing.
Yep.
They said, it was a 2-year deal at $15.5 million, and it turned out to be a 2-year deal at but it was $15.5 million a year. It was a 2-year deal at $14 million a year, because again, you can't really count the incentives until he makes the incentives. So what I'm looking back with David Johnson going back and accepting a 1-year deal at a little over $4 million, you're going to see a lot of these running backs come in the $4 to $5 million range. For example, last year in unrestricted free agency, the highest contract given to a free agent was $8 million, and that's Melvin Gordon in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you look at the free agent market, and again, this is on unrestricted free agency. Marlon Mack's not going to be back in Indianapolis. We already figure that James Conner is going to be not back in Pittsburgh. I mean, you've got You know, Chris Carson may not be back in Seattle. There's going to be good running backs available between $4 and $6 million, and that's not a bad price to pay.
Is there anybody else who's not on the market yet that we should keep an eye on who might join that list that you just brought up there?
Yeah, I'm sure that there is. I mean, just have to mentally kind of go through these teams, because one of the big issues is that most of the backs right now aren't they're all young. They're all in their mid-20s or a little bit younger than that. But right now, just off the top of my head, I can't
think of too many guys, but there are going to be
other guys that are running backs that are going to get cut.
Is Carson an upgrade to Connor? You know him well. I mean,
absolutely.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's had 2,000-yard seasons. I mean, the only problem is, he hasn't had 16-game seasons because he gets injured. But he's a physical back. They love him here in Seattle. But now the question is, if he wants to stay for $5 or $6 million, then it works out. If he's asking for 10, which he won't get, then they're going to let him hit the market, and then they're going to have to try to replace him.
I mean, is it even considered, though, John, better to go looking for an established name versus maybe a collegiate player? Like, I would think with the shelf life of that position, teams will still be a little bit reticent to commit any kind of money, even if it's not a significant amount, to a guy that might have had 4 or 5 seasons, something like that, under his belt.
Yeah, but most of these deals, in most positions, they're only going to be 1 or 2 year deals, because mm-hmm. if you're a player and you're accepting a discount, well, the money goes big in 2022 when the TV contracts start hitting in, and so you want a 1 or 2 year deal. Now, again, for a team like Pittsburgh, that hurts, because again, you're taking a 1 year deal and you're getting the full cap number. Now, again, what you can do is do a contract that has opt-out years and lower the cap number there. But, everybody's going to affect that. But, it's going to be mostly 1 or 2 year deals. I mean, take a look at what's already happened. I mean, it was 10 guys that got 4 or 5 year deals in unrestricted free agency last year. All right. So Cal Van Noy got a 4 year deal. He's been cut. Then Teddy Bridgewater's in bad shape down in Carolina, because David Tepper wants a better quarterback than him, and he was on a 3 year deal. But there's only 10 that got 4 and 5 year deals. So mostly everything's going to be 1, 2, and a few cases a 3 year deal.
John, based on what the GM in New York said today about Sam Darnold, do you expect that he'll get traded in the next month? And what do you think the asking price for him might be?
Well, I think it depends on how everything goes in the workouts. Nothing's going to happen before March 28th, because that's the last quarterback workout of all the first-round quarterbacks.
Okay.
So now if you're the Jets, you have to make sure, because now you're allowed to go and see the workouts. I mean, you got to see them, evaluate them, spend some time with them, and then start to make a decision if you're the second team in the draft. But let's say, for example, they do like Zach Wilson, then Darnold then becomes available to teams like San Francisco, Washington, to maybe Carolina, so he'll be available then. And my guess, he comes at a discount.
How about here is Ben's successor?
Something else.
How about here is sit him behind Roethlisberger for a year and then play him in 2022, John? You like the way that sounds?
No, because again, it's like if you're going to be losing free agents like at left tackle, maybe Bud Dupree and all that stuff, you need players. You don't need a quarterback that can sit. And so it's like, it didn't work. I mean, even though the Packers won 13 games, and you had an angry Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, I mean, he didn't do it any better than third team. Then you got Jalen Hurst, and look at the mess in Philadelphia. That's not good. So, no, it's like you don't give up two picks for Sam Darnold and then eventually have to pay him. So it's like I'd say no.
All right.
Well, that kind of dampens my enthusiasm there, but fair
enough. Chris has been
really
very Sam Darnold.
Ben, don't you? You really want Ben out of there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I make no bones about it, and I feel no shame for saying it. I'm tired of the same old, which has been no Super Bowls in a decade and no Super Bowl wins in over a decade. I am absolutely ready to turn the page.
Wow. Of course, the only problem is if you if Ben's not there, then all of a sudden they're the Pirates.
Oh, John, why are you doing that to us right now? This is supposed
to be realistic.
This is supposed
I'm
to be hope.
Trying to be realistic.
This is supposed to be Hope Springs Eternal time of year in March.
They look like the bad news. They look like the bad John. They look like the bad news Bears with Ben in there in the wild card game. Man, the gang that couldn't shoot straight or throw straight.
Yeah, they went 11-0.
They did. Unfortunately, it is a 16-game season, though. John, you're the best. Talk to you again next week.
Okay. Thanks.
I think I left John speechless.
You did.
Just about speechless.
I can't believe he said without Ben. The Steelers are the Pirates.
They went 500 without him. They were over 500 technically in games he didn't start.
Yeah. You're right. What a take from Clayton there on the way out. Does he know this is the Pirates' flagship station, Craig? Oof, we just re-upped with them. And now you got a Hall of Famer taking shots at the Pirates? They didn't deserve to get lumped in there, did they? They're just out there trying to, you know, get
the gif of the dude? What's the gif of the dude who's taking a sip of his drink and then giving that, like, side-eyed look into the camera? That's me right now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.